more excited to meet with us the day before the draft, less excited, or about the same?
Are you talking about you or everybody in the group?
Either way you'd like to.
No, you always look forward to the draft and chance to improve your football team. You put a lot of time, you know, a lot of evaluation, a lot of people working extremely hard, and now you get a chance to see if you get some of the people that you want. And it's always a crapshoot. You never know for sure. You got people that you think you got a chance on, and you're kind of hoping for the best.
You filled a lot of your needs prior to the draft, and is that... Is your strategy changing every day, you know, working up to the draft itself?
Yeah, I think what you're trying to do is you evaluate free agents that are out there on different teams, and you're always trying to fill voids. You're always trying to get better. You're trying to get your top 80 guys on your football team where they got a chance to compete. And you're always trying to, you know, look at the pro side and look at the collegiate side. And by the end of the day, and by the time you go to camp, you feel like you got the best 80 guys that you can possibly get to have those guys compete and put a good squad together.
How do you feel your roster stands right now going into the draft? You feel pretty good about what you've done for you?
Yeah, I think we've made some strides. We've added a few wide receivers, a few linebackers. We've got a little bit more depth in the defensive line. So I think we've helped ourselves.
What did you think of the Kansas City deal with Minnesota?
Well, I'm glad we don't have to play against Jared anymore, that's for sure. Great football player, young football player, very talented. I'm just hoping they don't get a guy like him.
Did you change your, or did the organization change its medical evaluation on Dwayne Robertson between last month and this month?
No, same evaluation.
So what was the difference in terms of making the deal now as opposed to when you might have made it earlier?
We've been trying to do it for 2 months. So we finally got it done. So it doesn't mean that we haven't been working on it. We've been working on it for a while. And finally, we got the deal done.
So you don't have any medical concerns about him?
Sure, yeah. Same thing we've talked about before. He would have flunked our test for the last 4 years. But he's played over the last 4 years, the last 2 years, he's played 77% of the time. So we're willing to take the risk.
But he did flunk your physical?
Uh-huh. Yeah, if he didn't play, you know, he's had this, you know, coming out of college. So when you play as many years as he had and the percentage, we were willing to take the risk. And obviously, the contract will dictate that. But we feel like we've got a chance for a good upside. We've got a guy with a lot of character, a guy that we had ranked as the top defensive player coming out, defensive lineman. A guy that we enjoy thoroughly as a person, a guy that can play the run and the pass. And when a guy plays 80% of the time, we're willing to take the risk.
How much can he benefit from a scheme change?
Oh, it's going to be a big difference for him. You know, you play a nose tackle in a 3-4, and you play a 3 technique in a 4-man front is exactly where he played in college. So we think there's a big upside, and you always take chances. And he's the type of guy that has played with these injuries. And if he didn't play with these injuries, obviously, we want to take... would not have took a chance and deal with the risk, but we feel very good about our chances. And we'll find out.
How does your draft strategy change with so many picks, especially second day picks? Does that change anything for you?
No.
A little different for you? Do you like having so many picks?
No, we're going to try to give those picks away. And
would you rather have so many picks on second day or be top heavy?
No, I mean, honestly, I like the 2-4s, the 2-5s, 2-7s. You know, it makes you really go through the whole draft. We think there's some big time value in the fourth round and the fifth round. You get guys in the fourth round that you think can really help your football team. And, you know, through the years, we've had some excellent second day picks, and hopefully this year will be the same.
Sometimes, depending on the success of the previous year and your returning roster, you need to fill specific spots, and sometimes you're picking the best athlete available, and which is kind of a different strategy. Which are you looking at more this year?
I think most people, it's a combination of both. You want to draft people that'll make your football team. You want to draft people that'll make your football team better, If you got a lot of depth in one position and you're questioning if that guy can make your football team, the chances are you're not going to draft him. You'd go more with a need player. But if there's a big difference with the talent level, sometimes you go the other direction. So, you know, it's all on, you know, what your philosophy is, and you go through a game plan, and then you try to execute it on draft day. Sometimes it's moving back, sometimes it's moving up. Sometimes you're trying to move back and you can't. Sometimes you're trying to move up and you... So it's something that you learn over time, that you got to be flexible and you got to be ready to go.
Did you adjust anything with a shorter amount of time in the first round this year?
It'll be interesting, you know, trying to get those phone calls made to see if people are interested in any type of trades, either moving up or moving back. I think it will put a little bit more pressure on everybody. If they want to trade back or trade up, you got to communicate right away. You got to have more people on the phones. You got to have more lines available, you know, with 5 minutes less. And I think it's good, though. I think it's good to go 10 minutes instead of 15 minutes. And I do enjoy the 7 minutes in the second round, but it does put a little bit more pressure on each team.
Does it change that the overnight now comes after the second?
Yeah, it's a little different. It'll be interesting, you know, just a different time frame, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and see how long it goes. And the first day starting at 1. Obviously, we'll go, you know, into the night, and then you got your game plan and what you're going to do for the next day, and then you're ready to go a little bit earlier. So, but you know, it's made for TV, and I think people enjoy it, and I think it's a good idea.
Do you get a sense this could be one of those years where the first round, you know, blows up, gets turned over a lot, trades up, down?
Yeah, I think it'll be typical in what's done. I think, like Jeff just asked, I think there's a little bit more pressure on the team. They've got to make decisions a little bit quicker. And I think a lot of people communicate, you know, over the last couple of days, hey, we might be interested in your pick, and talk about the compensations. And some of those conversations have already taken place. Some teams aren't going to trade no matter what. They want their pick, and they're going to stay with their pick.
Is there a new draft value chart out there that everyone's using? I guess there's been a couple of them out there.
Every year there's new charts. This year's no different. And we kind of look at all of them. We look at the original. We look at probably two or three that come out this year. And so everybody's kind of got a pretty good feel.
How's the dynamic change in the, or how do you expect the dynamic to change in the draft room with the Goodmans now kind of in charge of the personnel side rather than Kevin being there?
Well, it's, you know, same thing we've done is, you know, we try to have a game plan going in and execute that game plan. So, you know, there'll be no difference with that game plan this year as there has been in the past. And there is a little difference, though, when you're picking 12th. It's not something I'd like to do very often, but you do get a little bit more excited because you've got a, you know, at least a reasonable idea who may be there in comparison when you're picking in the mid-20s or 30s. Big difference, not only in the first round, but the second round.
Mike, at the offensive tackle position after Jake Long, would you mind throwing out a few of the names that you think are people that belong at the very next level right below?
Well, I think in what everybody's talking about, you know, you got Clady, you got Williams, you got Elpert, you got Chirios, you got Ota. There'll be probably 6-7 guys going that first round, you know, that are valued offensive tackles. Some can play right, some can play left, some can play both. But they, you know, this year's draft is deep at the offensive tackle position. It all depends where you value certain guys and how you evaluate those guys.
Have you had conversations with any or all of them?
Yeah, we've had conversations with most of the players in the first round, not only the tackles, but all positions.
Specifically, when you're drafting at high 12th, can you afford to pass on the best player available to fill a need? Or do you just go best player available?
Well, I think I shared that with you before. You could do both. It all depends if what your need is and what the value is. But if there's a big discrepancy, usually you don't. You can find another guy in the second round or the third round that might be able to fill one of those needs. So that's part of your game plan.
How would you classify your state of offensive tackle right now before the draft? In terms of, do you feel fairly comfortable with what you have there now? Or how do you feel about, is there some experience?
Well, I can't say we have a lot of depth on the offensive line. Most people don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line. And that's kind of standard in the National Football League, and that's why there's a number of players that go in the first couple rounds, both offense and defensive line, because those players are hardest to find. That's been the National Football League for a long time. But when you take a look at our depth, you know, we can always have more depth at that offensive line, especially when you got a guy like Matt Lepsis who retires. But the question is, I think, what we're talking about, do you value some guy in the second round that's pretty close to the first round? So can you go another direction in the first round? And those are questions I think every team asks themselves. It's kind of nice to have the 42nd pick, though, instead of the 60th pick. And there's a lot of athletes that go in that second round, especially early, that normally you don't have a chance at unless you move up.
What's your defensive line, Mike? I mean, I know you guys acquired Robertson. Does that alleviate a lot of the problems with the depth there, or are you still looking at it?
We're always looking for depth in the defensive line and offensive line. It's hard to find. It all depends on how you evaluate somebody. But we've got a number of people there right now. They've got a chance to compete. You know, with Jarvis coming back, when Ebenezer Ekubon hopefully coming back full speed, and obviously with Crowder and Elvis and John Engelberger, you know, we've got some depth there. You know, at the defensive tackle position, we added a few guys, you know, through free agency that have come in, looked pretty good in our offseason. But does that mean we won't go at the defensive position? No. You know, there's some guys out there that we've got evaluated pretty high. It all depends if they're there or not.
Would you look at a returner just to be a returner, or does he have to play another position for you?
Oh, well, you always like a guy to play another position for you. But if you ever get a guy like Devin Hester, he can do whatever he wants. He can coach, just return punts and kickoffs, but those guys don't come around very often.
I think Lee asked before about how things change on draft day with the Goodmans. Has anything changed leading up to the draft? Has your role changed at all with the front office? Do you have to do more, or what's on, or anything different?
It's always busy. I mean, there's no easy way to do the draft. You got 300 people that you're evaluating. You're spending at least a half hour on every player, going back and forth, getting a game plan. It just takes some time. And regardless on, you know, who's in charge or who's doing what, you know, we try to get everybody involved, and, you know, we got a game plan going in. And like I said, it's a little bit more fun to pick at 12, though, than it is 30. I don't want it to happen very often, though.
Is it going to change much, the fact that they've shortened the time? You know, baseball's got it down where they got like 2 minutes in between rounds. But, yeah, will the immediacy change much in there? Do you really even know?
I think you're a lot like my players. You don't pay a lot of attention to me when I talk. I think it'll change a little bit, yeah. I think you got to be more on top of things now than you used to be. You know, 15 minutes, the extra 5 minutes is a big difference.
Those two seventh rounders, would you consider a kicker or a punter at the end of this draft? Are there people down there?
Oh, sure, yeah. There's guys that we got projected as possible draft choices, possible free agents. I think a lot of clubs talk to these guys that are out there even before the draft, to saying, hey, if you aren't drafted, would you consider us? And the thing that's really interesting this year that hasn't happened in the past, it's an 80-man squad. It's been close to 90. I think the average has been 86.5. You know, we've been right at that 89-90. You know, there's going to be an extra 320 players out there, or at least 300 players, when you start camp this year in comparison to the past. That's going to be a big difference for every team in the National Football League. There'll be different directions on two-a-days. Can you practice the same amount as you did before? I don't think you can with 10 less players. So it'll be interesting to see the different directions people are taking this year in comparison to the past.
You're at 80 now, aren't you?
We're at 80 now. Exactly right. But we don't do that until we go to fall camp. Now, if you sign a free agent, then you have to cut a player. But part of the draft choice is you don't. But we're evaluating these guys every day in our off-season program. These guys are throwing, they're catching on their own, and we have the OTA days that you have. So you have 17 workouts beforehand. You get a chance to evaluate all these players plus the draft choices. So why not do it?
Michael,
talk about your team in the draft, they talk about running backs late. You have taken some early running backs like Portis. Do you have a set theory on running backs in the draft? Do you like to find them late? I mean, are you anti-first round running back? Could you just talk a little bit about your theory on running back?
Well, you know, I think we've talked about it briefly. It doesn't matter what position it is. You know, there's a bunch of running backs that are quality guys at our pick. You know, would we be interested in a running back? Sure we would. It all depends on who's there. And you take a look at some the value of some of these running backs in the draft, I think it's one of the better drafts for running backs. So I think there is some good value in the first round, good value in the second round. This is one of the deeper classes I've seen in running back, so I think you can get some quality guys fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round, depending on who you got targeted. So this is a, you know, this is a pretty strong year in that area. Well, Jeff and Jim have been here. They're not really new roles. They're doing the same thing we've always done. Jim's in charge of the draft. Jim watches every player. He'll talk about every guy just like that. Well, he's on the road all year round. He's evaluating the college players. So Jim's been doing that for a long time. Jim's got a chance now to organize it the way he wants and do things that, you know, he would like to do, and he's done a heck of a job doing it. Yeah, he's still got his, you know, hand in the sling, and or the arm in the sling, and I think he gets it off sometime this week. It'll be 6 weeks, and he's making progress. Hopefully there's no setback, but I won't be able to tell you anything definitive until, you know, a month before, you know, we go to camp.
Does it affect anything you've done in free agency or the draft? I mean, just concern maybe it doesn't come out as quick as possible.
I mean, that's why you try to get depth. That's why you got 80 guys that go to camp. They're trying to get as much, you know, depth as possible, because, I mean, hand might be fine and might somehow happen with his ankle. You know, you just don't know. So you're one play away from, obviously, a guy being out for the season. You don't want those things to happen, especially with your great players, but they do happen. When they do happen, hopefully you got enough depth to handle the situation.
Rick, since we haven't talked to you since it happened, can you just talk a little bit about Parker and Jackson and what you think they bring?
What's that?
Sammy Parker and Darryl Jackson, what do you think they bring in the mix? Talk to you since they signed.
Well, both guys, obviously. You take a look at Jackson. You know, he's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of catches. He's got a lot of touchdowns. I've watched him play for a number of years. I like what he did at Seattle. Last year didn't work out for him with the 49ers, but I think he brings a lot to the table. He's still young. Sammy, I've watched play. I know what type of speed he has. You know, he's one of those 4-3 wide receivers who has a special teams ability, and we get a chance to evaluate these guys with the rest of our players. But guys that have played in the NFL, guys that have the ability to make plays, and now they get a chance to compete with our other guys.
The last couple of years you've moved up in the first round. Looking back on those years, did you know going into draft day that that was something you wanted to try to do, or was it something that as the draft fell was a sort of a spur of the moment decision?
No, I mean, if you got a game plan, you know, very few times is it a spare of the moment. Usually if it's a spare of the moment, usually you haven't thought it through enough. You know, you try to put yourself through as many scenarios as possible, knowing that if this guy is there at this pick and you can get, you know, and you can move 4 or 5 spots, 3 spots, 10 spots, you know, you've thought it through and you made a decision before it happens. And, you know, that's based on your evaluation of talent, obviously, through the 2 months prior to draft day. But you go through those scenarios as many times as possible, so you don't do anything just like that. You've thought it through. Now, sometimes it'll happen in the latter part of the rounds where you might have a couple seventh round picks or a six and a couple sevenths, and you don't have anybody on the board. We did that 1 year. We traded away 3 seventh round draft choices to Atlanta for their fourth round pick because we didn't have anybody at that time or left on the board that we thought would make our football team. That was a little bit spare of the moment, but most of them you think through.
So can you share with us now whether you'll be moving tomorrow?
I don't know. It all depends what guys are there at what time. You know, all of a sudden you take a look in your first round or second round and the guys that you had targeted aren't there, and somebody wants to move to your position, you do have a game plan to move back. Or if you have a guy that might be a 3 or 4 spots away and you're willing to give up a spot that you had projected as the top first round guy, you got a game plan there also. So you try to go through those scenarios as many times as possible. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, Jay Cutler, you know, a guy that we thought if he fell to a certain position that you know, we would take a shot at.
Every year it seems like early picks come up and say, I'm blindsided because Denver never talked to me, almost every guy across the board. So first part of the question is, have we cracked the code? Whoever you haven't talked to is the guy you're going to go after. And two, who haven't you talked to so we know who you're going to pick?
Well, I think normally that's, you know, that's been our philosophy. This year is a little bit different. When you're picking in the mid-20s or, you know, lower 20s, 30s, you don't want to let anybody know or you give away your hand. It's a little different when you're picking 12th. Not very happy with the pick, obviously, but when you do have that pick, you, at least you got somewhat of an idea who may be there. And so, therefore, you do talk to more player and more people than you did if you're in the mid to late 20s.
You do mock drafts?
Pardon me? You know, we don't do actually a mock draft, but we'll do different scenarios. There'll be four guys on the board, and who would choose this guy, who would choose this guy. If this guy was gone in the first round, would you move back, would you stay? You know, all the scenarios that are pretty realistic. But we just don't throw who would you pick and first, you know, because you know, you do that, you know, every day, going through those scenarios. And you know, most people never tell you the truth anyhow, so you're just sitting there waiting to the last second, and whatever happens, you're hopefully you've been through enough scenarios where it becomes automatic for you.
Like, is it just a cycle this year with different positions, like every year, running backs and tackles you said are strong, or a tackle specifically, is there something where you can see the coaching is different in the college ranks? Maybe their tackles are better prepared now than they've been in the past?
No, I just think it all depends on the class. Not as deep this year at the guard position. Sometimes just the opposite, more guards than tackles. Sometimes it's, you know, you take a look at our DB class 3 years ago. And you take a look at the, you know, three DBs we got with the second and the third round picks. You take a look at their 40s compared to the top four guys in the first round this year. You know, so you never know. That was a deep class with defensive backs. So 1 year may be a little bit stronger than the other year. You can compare times, height, weight. But as we all know, you know, the guy's got to get it done once he gets here. And it's surely not a science.
When you look at tackles, is it harder for you to look at a guy in a sprint offense?
Yeah, it is. You got to project things a little bit more. And, you know, you really don't know for sure. You know, can you project a guy in there? A lot of guys will go to a Senior Bowl or you'll see short yardage goal line. There's enough situations if you go through somebody's whole career, you'll see what you want. A lot of times you may have to go back to the freshman, sophomore year.
When Jay Cutler stepped up, he kind of voiced his concerns over Brandon Marshall earlier this offseason. Is that kind of a sign that maybe he's stepping up and taking more ownership of the team, becoming more of a leader? Is that fair?
I think people have to be themselves. You know, Jay felt like speaking out. You got to be your own man. And, you know, that's what I liked about Jay. He said, hey, he felt like speaking out, and he spoke out. He said something that he felt was very important to our football team.
Had you two talked about the fact he was going to speak out prior to that?
Well, I mean, I want to share that with you if we did, but, you know, just to answer the question honestly, no, I didn't talk to Jay. You know, and I wouldn't talk to Jay. That's not something that I would say, ask a quarterback to do.
Side, but also deals with the contract issue. One of the issues the last few days has been whether there should be some kind of a cap on the early picks, and some people, Commissioner Goodell said he was in favor of maybe not throwing the big money at the top 10 picks who haven't proven themselves. Where do you come out on that?
Well, I think that makes sense. You know, why give that type of money to people that haven't proven themselves? Why not give it to the veteran players? But I think the, you know, big concern is how much money is going to be spent. And, you know, now that's an issue with, you know, the players and, you know, you're dealing with the union. But my opinion would be, yeah, I think it'd make more sense to give it to the proven players. That's it.